Today on Jay Sekulow Live, under President Trump, no more Benghazis, no more hostage crisis situations. We've changed the rules of engagement, unleashed America's armed forces, and the enemies, those still alive, should be terrified. President Trump will not let America lead from behind. Soleimani, the lead Iranian terrorist, is dead. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The American people should know that President Trump's decision to remove Qasem Soleimani from the battlefield saved American lives. There's no doubt about that. He was actively plotting in the region to take actions, a big action as he described it, that would have put dozens, if not hundreds, of American lives at risk.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This is a man who's put American lives at risk for an awfully long time, and last night was the time that we needed to strike to make sure that this imminent attack that he was working actively was disrupted.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, a major move by President Trump in what I call not just a war against the radical Islamic Republic of Iran, but against Islamic terrorism by taking out the lead terrorist for Iran. And what do I mean when I say that about Qasem Soleimani? Well, he was there. What he conducted was all of their outside, so external, basically terror activities, running Hezbollah in Lebanon, running this new Hezbollah group in Iraq, running the insurgency against U.S. troops in Iraq during the Iraq War. I mean, just between, check this stat out. And you think this guy deserved to die? Absolutely. In April 2019, the State Department announced that Iran was responsible for killing 608 U.S. troops during the Iraq War. Soleimani was the head of the Iranian and Iranian-backed forces carrying out those operations killing American troops. 608 U.S. troops he was directly responsible for killing. According to the State Department, 17% of all deaths of U.S. personnel in Iraq from 2003 to 2011 were orchestrated by Soleimani himself. He was taunting the U.S. now. He was leading this group that again, set fire to our embassy. And I put it this way. Unlike Benghazi, we're going to kill you just for burning some of our building. We're not going to lay back. You start burning some of our building, we'll kill you. And by the way, it wasn't just him that was killed. It was also the leader of that paramilitary group, that new Hezbollah group in Iraq that was killed. So we're not just going to kill, you know, the low-ranking guys. We're going to kill the highest-ranking guys. So that has to make them wonder, who else do we have in their sights? Who else are we watching? See, there was a UN Security Council resolution that banned Soleimani from leaving Iran. The moment he was stepped off that plane in Baghdad, he was dead. So if anybody's questioning whether this was legal under international law, he was banned from traveling outside of Iran because of his terrorist activities, because of his links to clandestine operations, including kidnapping, torture, terrorist acts, and of course the murder of troops, all unjustified, creating the IEDs. So guess what President Trump did? The moment they knew Soleimani was going to arrive in Baghdad, he stepped off that plane, dead. That's not leading from behind anymore. That's leading from the front. And it's unleashing the power of the U.S. Armed Forces. We'll get your thoughts on that today. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And in the second half hour, GOP whip, the second highest ranking member in the Republican Party in the House of Representatives, is going to be joining us, Steve Scalise, with his reaction to this and more on Jay Sekulow Live. So you don't want to miss the broadcast today. Go to ACLJ.org. Stay updated on all the issues. We'll be right back. Take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Well, it is an honor right now to be joined on Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, by the GOP whip, second highest ranking member of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives, Steve Scalise, joining us on the broadcast live. Congressman Scalise, thanks for joining us today.
Jordan, great to be with you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. First, I know you were going to be scheduled to be on to talk about it. We're going to get to it. This pro-life brief that you did lead. Over 200 members from both the House and the Senate filing an amicus brief supporting Louisiana's pro-life law that's before the U.S. Supreme Court this term. But first, I know you've been talking about it already. I've seen your tweets. I've retweeted them. I have to get your reaction to the move by President Trump to take out the head of the Quds Force for the Islamic Revolutionary Guard.
Yeah, what President Trump did to lead this mission to take out Soleimani, it's a major strike against terrorism around the world. I mean, Soleimani was one of the most brutal terrorists that we've seen. I mean, he's literally right up there with al-Baghdadi and has committed terrorist attacks that rival Osama bin Laden in terms of hundreds of Americans that he's been directly responsible for killing, as well as thousands around the world. I mean, this guy was one of the most brutal terrorists, was plotting other attacks against America, and President Trump said, we're not going to take this, and led this effort, which I commend the president on doing, because other presidents, you know, for whatever reason, we just never confronted this brutal terrorist, and now he's gone. He's taken out and won't be able to kill innocent lives anymore.
And we're talking to Congressman Steve Scalise, the GOP whip. Congressman, the idea here, I mean, we see the reports that not only did Secretary Pompeo say that there were more attacks being planned, and we know that Soleimani was heading up this new paramilitary-style Hezbollah group in Iraq, kind of copying what he helped to create in Lebanon, but that he was directly responsible for 17% of all deaths of U.S. personnel in Iraq from 2003 to 2011, and he had a UN Security Council ban that said he cannot leave Iran. He left Iran. I believe the president was absolutely legally justified because of that Security Council resolution saying he couldn't leave Iran, that the moment he stepped off that aircraft and was in Baghdad in Iraq, he was violating the UN Security Council resolution and could be taken out.
Look, the strong action President Trump took will save countless more American lives, as well as innocent lives all around the world. And you touched on this. What Soleimani had been doing in Iraq, similar to what he'd been doing in other countries, he was undermining Iraq. And there are people in Iraq, like there are in Iran, who seek freedom. And they're shut down by their government. They're killed by their government many times over. And so what you do by taking him out is you send a message to other brutal terrorists and to the Iran regime that we're not going to sit by and let them go and commit acts of terrorism and attack America, attack and kill people, Americans. This is something that had been going on for too long. President Trump took decisive action. And for those people seeking freedom in Iran who want to stand up against their tyrannical government, this is a positive sign to them that you've got a country in America who's going to have your back and who's going to stand up to these terrorists and thugs like Soleimani.
Well, it's interesting, Congressman, because we have heard from the media that, oh, he was so beloved in Iran. This was a guy who suppressed Iranian dissidents. The people you're talking about, I believe the majority of Iranians who would like to see the Ayatollah gone are glad to see leaders like Qassami gone, and they want Soleimani gone, and they want to have freedom in Iran, and this is just one step closer. Now, they're making these threats, Congressman, against the United States. I think we have to take it seriously because they can be very violent and tough to predict. At the same time, what I don't love, Congressman, is the politics surrounding this from your Democrat colleagues who try to have it both ways. Oh, yes, Soleimani deserved to die, but I didn't get enough information on this, and President Trump is now starting World War III.
Yeah, you know, they can't have it both ways. But think about this. First of all, beloved by whom? You know, this guy's an evil dictator, a brutal terrorist. The only people that might have loved him are other terrorists. And so it's a good thing that he's gone from this planet. But when you look at some of the comments by these socialist leftists, and even in the media, the mainstream media, it's like they just can't give Donald Trump a win. This is another major victory for President Trump's foreign policy. And you saw it with al-Baghdadi, who was another brutal terrorist who needed to be taken out, and I'm glad he was. But go back to Osama bin Laden. When Barack Obama was president, and you know good and well, there were a lot of things we disagreed with President Obama
sure.
on. But he led the effort. It happened under his watch, and he deserves the credit for it. And we gave him the credit back then. You can go look at statements I
Absolutely.
Made and other Republicans in Congress that, yes, while we might disagree with some things, he was correct in taking that action. And we applauded his leadership in taking out Osama bin Laden. But to see some on the left, it just shows you how pathetic they are, that they would root against America rather than give President Trump the credit he deserves for making this world a safer place, not just Americans. Look, this will save American lives. And so anybody who criticizes this move is saying they're okay with a brutal terrorist continuing to kill Americans. So it makes it safer for Americans, but it also makes the world safer for anyone who loves freedom and who hates terrorists.
I think you can make the case, Congressman Scalise. We're talking to, again, GOP whip, Congressman Steve Scalise, number two ranking member in the Republicans, the House of Representatives. And thank him for joining us today. We were going to talk about another issue. We will get to that before we finish out this segment. But, you know, when I look at Osama bin Laden, by the time he was taken out, and I absolutely celebrated along with you, Congressman Scalise, we celebrated on this broadcast. We disagree with President Obama about on every issue, but on that, we were celebrating like all Americans, and I wish we were at a point in our country where we could do that again. Now, I think you could make the case that both bin Laden and even al-Baghdadi, when they were taken out, had much less influence geopolitically than Soleimani did the day he was taken out. I mean, this was someone who had basically unchecked power to deal with Iranian foreign relations. He even texted that to General Petraeus at one point. The only person overseeing him, Congressman Scalise, was the Ayatollah himself. So this I think you can make the case, was a more active. The other two were kind of hiding away at that point, both bin Laden and Baghdadi, and ISIS was crumbling and Al-Qaeda was falling apart. This, you had an active leader on the geopolitical scene carrying out acts of terrorism, basically unchecked from the Iranian, the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Right. Well, if you look at what Soleimani represents, just the fact that he was the head of the IRG, which is one of the largest state sponsors of terrorism. Yeah. I mean, they were a terrorist organization, and he was the head of that organization. But he might not be as recognizable as Osama bin Laden,
right,
or even as al-Baghdadi, especially amongst Americans who surely knew what Osama bin Laden looked like. But he was, as you say, more directly involved in day-to-day operations of a major terrorist organization that had state sponsor. Because whether it was al-Qaeda or ISIS, they were entities in search of a caliphate. IRG, this is a state-sponsored terrorist organization sponsored by Iran. He directly responded and directly reported to the Ayatollah. So he had a lot of ability to invoke more terror throughout the world and was attempting to. And again, you look at the Department of Defense's statement, and they said it wasn't just because of what he did with the attacks on our embassy or the attacks against that killed an American last week, but it was because of what he was planning to do. He was directly still planning further attacks against Americans. So absolutely incredibly dangerous person, a brutal terrorist, and now he's gone from the world because of President Trump's decisive leadership.
One final quick question on this. We got a minute and a half left. I do want to get to the brief, the pro-life brief, but the threat from Iran that we should all be so concerned about, that this is World War III. How concerned should Americans be? Should we be more vigilant right now?
We're going to obviously have to be more vigilant. You got to expect that they're thinking about what to do to respond. But at the same time, they've got a way in whatever they think about doing in response to this attack and this killing of Soleimani is, what would America do in response again? Because this shows President Trump's not going to sit by. And so he needed to be taken out. They ought to be aware that there will be another response if they try to do something to America. But we all ought to be on high alert.
And Congressman, let me thank you. You led over 200 members, both from the House and the Senate, in filing an amicus brief supporting Louisiana's pro-life law. The Louisiana case deciding whether abortion clinics should be required to maintain the same standards as any other outpatient surgical clinic. We're involved in that case as well at the ACLJ. I submitted a comment to your release on that, supporting this decision, praising you for doing that. So, Congressman Scalise, thank you also for standing for life and filing that brief.
Thanks. We'll continue to. Oral arguments should be in March before the Supreme Court. This will be a major case, first case on abortion that the Supreme Court will take up.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, because he made the case. It was great. I mean, this broadcast, being able to bring you the second highest ranking member of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives, Steve Scalise, not just to discuss the life brief, which is very important that he put together, and we'll spend more time on that later, but to get his thoughts on this action. I mean, this is, again, these are the leaders of our country, the leaders of our branches of government. For him to be able to join our broadcast was excellent. So if you missed Steve Scalise, Congressman Scalise, the GOP whip, I encourage you to go back later in the broadcast today when it's posted online on Facebook and places like that, and definitely listen to what he had to say about killing and really targeting Soleimani and why it was so important to do. And Secretary of State, he mentioned this, how Secretary of State Pompeo laid out the case that this was not just a targeted response because of what he was responsible for, which was heinous enough, I think, to justify his killing, because he's responsible for 17% of all deaths of U.S. personnel in Iraq from 2003 to 2011. That, to me, deserves death right there. But this was forward-looking. As we already saw the protest that led to the burning of some of our embassy in Baghdad. Take a listen to Secretary Pompeo.
This is a man who's put American lives at risk for an awfully long time. And last night was the time that we needed to strike to make sure that this imminent attack that he was working actively was disrupted.
I believe, and now this is just based off my knowledge on, you know, we work a lot in Iran. And we've dealt a lot with Guards Corps. We've dealt a lot with their government there because of those persecuted Christians we've had to get out of the prisons, which, by the way, Soleimani's brother runs. A lot of people, I didn't know that, but you know, like Evin Prison, those horrible places we talk about where people like Saeed Abedini, Youssef Nadarkhani were being held. Guess who was the head of prisons for Iran? Soleimani's brother. So, I mean, these were two guys in a family, really rough, tough guys. One, now justifiably dead. Because I think and I'll go to Wes on this imminent attack that he was working on, and he showed up in Baghdad. We said that first instance of the protesters was not going to be the 1979 takeover of the hostage crisis. But I think what he may have been working on was maybe the takeover and throwing out of the U.S. of our compound.
I think you're probably right. And in addition to that, if you listen to what Secretary Pompeo said, he was planning further attacks to not only take over an embassy, but to kill Americans. And that's why, in my opinion, well, actually not in my opinion, you look at the War Powers Act and other precedent, if there is an imminent attack on the United States, the president is not required to notify Congress. He has 30 days to notify Congress after he initiates military action, but there's no need to notify Congress if there is an imminent attack, and that's what was going on. Soleimani was the hardliner of all hardliners. He was the most powerful Iranian general. He was a two-star general. Other Iranian generals outranked him, but he had more authority than they did because he was commander of the Quds forces, who report only to the supreme leader. And as I said during one of the breaks, I take exception to the fact that so much of the media is saying that we assassinated Soleimani. You know, he was an Iranian general who was part of a terror organization. We are in a war on terror. And anytime you're in a war, another military officer, irrespective of his rank, is a legitimate military target. We took out a military target who represented an imminent threat to U.S. personnel and citizens abroad. I think it was justified. People say, well, what's the end state? Well, I don't know that there has to be an end state, because we took action to kill someone who was about to kill more Americans. We will deal with those consequences. We do not know all the consequences, what they will be, but the action needed to happen, and we will deal appropriately with any consequences going forward. But the Iranians, Jordan, are not suicidal. Whatever their response will be, whether it's cyber warfare or using their proxies to attack shipping or to attempt assassinations, which they've done before, We will deal with that. But this guy was a bad guy and needed to die. And personally, you know, I'm glad he's gone.
And it wasn't just, by the way, Soleimani who was killed. I think important to point out, Harry, you also had the head of this new paramilitary group, umbrella Shia group that he was running covertly, all Shia, using the title Hezbollah, which means Army of God, in fatigues. They were the ones that showed up at the embassy. They were clearly putting a force together that was supposed to be actually controlled by the Iraqi security forces. This was supposed to be the Shia force as that was part of the Iraqi security forces. It had been started to break off. Their leader was also killed in this strike because they were coming to welcome Soleimani as he arrived in Baghdad. I mean, you think about the fact that these guys, Harry, were used to dealing with the Obama days. They got pallets of cash, billions of dollars. They got the nuclear deal. And even though there's a UN Security Council resolution saying, you better not leave Iran, he left Iran thinking he could just go around the world carrying out these activities and walking the streets like a normal person.
Absolutely. So I think it's clear that there has been a change in focus and a change in terms of U.S. policy with respect to Iran and with respect to the Shias. In the past, during the Obama administration, more likely than not, President Obama would have issued a professorial lecture to the Iranians. Instead, President Trump has taken decisive action, and it's very, very important to note that among U.S. military enemies throughout the world, the Shias are among the worst. Iran has consistently engaged in provocative action against the United States and against the United States' interest. In addition, of course, Iran has consistently supported efforts to destabilize Israel. And among the few allies of the United States that have supported the action that President Trump took last night, Israel, for instance, strongly supports this action because they recognize that Iran represents an existential threat to the Israeli regime going forward. And basically, the Iranians have strongly supported efforts by Arabs in the region to drive Israel into the sea. So I think this is a major step forward. Yes, there are certainly a risk associated with this attack, but in light of the fact that an attack on American forces was imminent, and in light of past practices by Soleimani, I think President Trump was entirely justified.
Listen, President Trump said earlier this week, no more Benghazis. We're not going to have hostage crises again in America. And unlike Benghazi, we're striking back. We're killing these leaders just because they started burning our buildings. That was enough of a provocation right there. And of course, this imminent attack that was being planned, which I think was probably styled after the 1979 takeover of the embassy, trying to clear us out of and get into a firefight with U.S. troops. But now, both Soleimani and the head of that paramilitary new Hezbollah group in Iraq are dead because of President Trump's decisive decision. We'll be right back. Second half hour of JCEQO Live. Go to ACLJ.org to find out more.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The American people should know that President Trump's decision to remove Qasem Soleimani from the battlefield saved American lives. There's no doubt about that. He was actively plotting in the region to take actions, a big action as he described it, that would have put dozens, if not hundreds, of American lives at risk. This is a man who's put American lives at risk for an awfully long time. And last night was the time that we needed to strike to make sure that this imminent attack that he was working actively was disrupted.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Imminent attack. It's so important, you know, when you look at this legally and you hear the Democrats complaining about this. When you use the language of imminent attack, the president can act immediately to eliminate any kind of imminent threat to the U.S. interest, whether that's U.S. civilians, our armed forces, our compounds. And we've got a call about that. I mean, I think let's take it right off the bat, Roger in Minnesota, because I want to make it clear to everybody, because you're going to hear it from the left. They're going to, Congressman Scalise says, they want to have it both ways. Yes, Soleimani should have been killed, but, oh, we didn't get enough info, and where's this intel? And that's not how the law works. Roger from Minnesota on line six, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. A friend of mine, or maybe he's a friend, posted a thing on Occupy Democrats from the one Kennedy representative or from the Kennedy line saying that Trump was impeached and he should have contacted people, you know, just condemning him. Is there any requirement at all for President Trump?
No. Under the War Powers Act, let's explain it again, Wes, Harry, we could all explain the legal justifications here for this action. If a threat is imminent, Congress need not be notified, and then 30 days later, you have 30 days to even tell them. I mean, that's how long it gives the White House and the president to even notify Congress. Now, nowadays, it breaks in the news, but the intelligence, of course, that will, I'm sure, be shared behind closed doors to the appropriate people.
Yeah, and that's why the War Powers Act is written that way. The president, you know, is responsible to notify Congress of the reasons behind his actions. But it's set up this way because if someone is about to attack either the United States homeland or our soldiers or citizens abroad, you can't really wait and go through the channels to notify Congress if there is an imminent threat. So what he did was perfectly appropriate under the War Powers Act. It makes sense.
Harry, you know, we've been more and more involved at the American Center for Law and Justice in war, the issues of national security. We've brought in people like Wes Smith. We've got Skip Ash. We're involved now at the International Criminal Court, defending the interests of the U.S. Armed Forces and our intelligence agencies from war crimes investigations. So, I mean, we've gotten, as an organization, very deep into this, and we've always followed Iran very closely. We have ACLJ Jerusalem, but we've also handled two major cases out of Iran to free Iranians who were being unjustly imprisoned, and their life was at risk because of their Christian faith. So it kind of combines here. I want you to take a listen to Secretary of State Pompeo on this and just get your reaction. Byte 35.
We shouldn't forget it's General Soleimani. He's a military commander. He's a military commander who was actively engaged in plotting to kill Americans in the region. We had an important set of underlying reasons to take this strike. It was wholly lawful. We're confident that we not only got it right legally, but we got it right strategically.
Well, I think Secretary Pompeo is absolutely correct. I think it's clear beyond question, first, that Quds has been designated as a terrorist organization. That's number one. Number two, Quds should have been designated as a terrorist organization. And then number three, Soleimani was responsible for exporting Iran's Islamic Revolution, supporting terrorists, subverting pro-Western governments, and waging Iran's foreign wars, in addition to which he was responsible for killing more than 600 American troops. So I think this action was clearly justified, and I think the Democrats' claims to the contrary make no sense. Impeachment, for instance, has no effect on President Trump's Article 2 powers. He retains them.
This is a day to celebrate. A leading terrorist, one of the most active, not the most active in the world, because of the state sponsorship, as Steve Scalise said that he had, the resources that he had, is dead because President Trump made a decisive decision. But thank you, President Trump. Thank you to our armed forces.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
As you often hear me say on the broadcast, I know we're talking to thousands of different radio broad stations right now, and millions of you listening to those of you listening on Sirius XM, but we also have got our group on Facebook and Periscope. And if you are an active viewer of the broadcast, we can do some unique things. So we've got an online poll going through the Facebook broadcast of the show. And the question is this, are you in favor of President Trump's order of a drone strike against Iran's top terrorist commander? You can answer yes, stop terrorism. Yes, but consult Congress. No, Congress wasn't consulted. And the final answer is no, I don't support foreign interventions. Now, we've explained that Congress, there's no legal basis for Congress being consulted, but that doesn't mean you might not believe. You might believe that Congress should still have been consulted. So there's no wrong answers there. We will let you know at the end of the broadcast what those poll results were. I want to go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Nineveh is calling in from California on line three. She is Iranian, and I wanted to get her reaction to this news about the death of Soleimani. Hi, Nineveh. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. All Iranians are very, very much excited. And then even you can see, because it was in the Facebook comments from the Iranian on the walls, they are thanking the Mr. President. At least 70 million of Iranians are celebrating this great day. Thank you so much, American military and American President. I am really excited. You don't know how much we are exciting. It's just the joying is in on the Facebook all over. Thanks a lot.
You know, Nineveh, if you're still there, are you still with us?
Yeah. Yes.
Because we keep hearing in the mainstream media, oh, he was beloved. The Washington Post actually put that Soleimani was revered inside Iran. Do you think the Iranian people who were still stuck inside the Islamic Republic of Iran revered Soleimani or just feared him?
Oh, David, I mean, he wasn't just a terrorist outside of Iran. He was inside, too. People are really hated this family. So the brother, too. They are killers, right? Not just outside of Iran. They are inside Iran, too. By the way, the whistleblower of the Democrats, whatever they are making, government is so much bankrupt that they don't have even warm water for the soldiers and food right. for their soldiers. They're bankrupt.
Which gets to our point, Nineveh. I appreciate your call so much, Wes. This idea, you know, we get a lot of bluster from Iran immediately, But as she said, their economy, because of our sanctions that President Trump and his administration have put on through the Treasury Department, have been so extreme since we pulled out of the nuclear deal, the JCPOA. I basically put that to rest and destroyed that deal, that their economy is, she says, they can't even feed and keep their soldiers warm. They may try and respond through covert means, through hacking, through acts of terror. We've ordered all Americans out of Baghdad and made that very clear. At the same time, this is a weak country right now.
Yeah, they are struggling under this oppressive theocratic regime that rules the country. The Iranian people have my sympathy and my support. They are really struggling, and I certainly appreciate the caller. And I can relate to what she said about how the Iranian people on the street despise this man. Think about this. In addition to all the things we've talked about his terrorist activities around the world and assassinations and on, this man, remember the demonstrations that began in Iran in 2009? They continue to this day. There have been hundreds of Iranian citizens who were killed on the order of this man for demonstrating against the government. And not only that, in Iraq over the last couple of months, there have been demonstrations in Iraq protesting Iranian presence and influence in their own country. It was Soleimani who coordinated with the Quds forces and the Iraqi government to start using live ammunition on the demonstrators in Baghdad. Over 500 Iraqis were also killed for simply demonstrating against Iranian influence in their own country and in their corrupt government, parts of that are corrupt. So this guy is not beloved by anyone except other terrorists.
He sent a text to General Petraeus back again. This is again when General Petraeus was in charge of the surge in Iraq. And he wrote, he was handed a phone with a text message from Soleimani. And the message said this. It read, "General Petraeus, you should know that I, Qassem Soleimani, control the policy for Iran with respect to Iraq, Lebanon, Gaza." So, of course, the effect this has on Israel. By the way, Prime Minister Netanyahu praising this attack, and much better that the U.S. carried this out for Israel than Israel having to do this on its own. A superpower carrying it out, much better, again, than Israel, a small country, having to do it on its own. But Gaza and Afghanistan. And he let General Petraeus know, and by the way, the ambassador for Iran in Baghdad is a Quds Force member. The individual who's going to replace him is a Quds Force member. This was a bold terrorist, Wes. I mean, this was, again, the kind of, like I said to Steve Sleese, you know, when we killed Bin Laden and we all celebrated that, he was hiding out.
Right.
Baghdadi was hiding out. Soleimani was planning another attack. He was at the height of his power. He was basically the number two inside Iran, unchecked power except from the Ayatollah himself to run both clandestine activities outside the country. But as we heard, the family was also running a lot of terror inside Iran, including their horrendous torture prison system, which is what his brother does in Iran. So, I mean, this is again, I think what people just didn't understand is how, by taking him out, we've actually taken out, he wasn't on the run. He wasn't in hiding. We took him out at the height of his power.
Absolutely. You know, he's the one who stated a few years ago that paradise is not just tropical trees and peace and clean water and what have you. He said paradise is also war, and that's the kind of paradise that he sought after. His Quds forces are responsible for assassinations,
yeah,
for terrorism, unconventional warfare that Iran exports literally around the world. They've been linked to assassination attempts even in the United States. They tried to assassinate the Saudi ambassador at a Georgetown restaurant. This guy was brutal. And not only that, he was the Ayatollah's right-hand man. When President Obama's administration gave $150 billion to Iran, the Ayatollah tasked this man with parceling out billions of dollars to their various terrorist proxies around the world in places like Lebanon and Iraq and Yemen and other places. It cannot be overstated just how brutal and how much of a bad guy that this guy was.
You know, I see, I want to play, this is Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, right now. Again, Israel heading towards another election, but he still is the prime minister there, praising this action. So when you hear Democrats, you hear liberals say, well, what about what's going to happen to Israel? Listen to their own prime minister. Listen to their own leader praising the action. They're not afraid. They're not afraid. And in fact, they've been waiting probably for the U.S. to take this kind of action, an action that may have been too risky for them to do alone, but much better for the U.S. to do and take the lead on, as President Trump did. And I love President Trump's tweet. When this news broke, and before the Pentagon even confirmed that the U.S. was directly responsible, the tweet, which you can see behind me if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, and as I retweeted, was just the stars and stripes, the American flag. I mean, this is a different world these terrorists are living in now. And I think, you know, it'd be great to have another 4 years of that. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but it would be great, as we're in the election year, to have another 4 years of that. But take a listen to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. If you care about Israel's position on it, here it is, Byte 22.
Qasem Soleimani is responsible for the death of American citizens and many other innocent people. He was planning more such attacks. President Trump deserves all the credit for acting swiftly, forcefully, decisively. Israel stands with the United States in its just struggle for peace, security, and self-defense.
You know, there it is right there. Folks, when we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I just want you to remember in your mind, people have said this too, like, you know, go to Walter Reed. Think about the IEDs and the people who were there. Soleimani was the one who was preparing those IEDs and helping those Shia militias make those IEDs, improvised explosive devices, even stronger to kill Americans and to injure Americans and to maim Americans. So it's not just those who he's responsible for killing, but also those U.S. troops he's responsible for maiming for the rest of their life. Some have compared him to the Darth Vader to the Ayatollah's emperor. That's how close he was to the leadership in Iran. He was the executor, the enforcer of Iran's foreign interventions and clandestine activities. We come back, we take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. A lot of information up at ACLJ.org. Of course, we're following the impeachment debates that are going on in the Senate as they open up. They return today very closely. We'll get you updated on that probably Monday with more information on see what Nancy Pelosi does. But we want to take your calls on this. It's such an important day for the United States and for the world. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
So our poll results came in through Facebook, and let me just tell you, we've got patriots listening to this broadcast, people who understand foreign policy and when you need to take action. The question was to our Facebook audience, which is in the thousands right now, are you in favor of President Trump's order of a drone strike against Iran's top terrorist commander? 97% said yes, stop terrorism. The rest of the results, even the yes but consult Congress, got 1% or less. 97%. I want to go to Wes Smith. You're a retired colonel, and one of your positions, we'll tell people about it, because we talked about these IEDs, these explosive devices. We've talked about the 603, the blood of the 603 American soldiers that this man had on his hands before he was killed last night at the order of President Trump by our U.S. military. But he also is responsible for the maiming of thousands of U.S. troops.
Absolutely. Almost an untold number. During my 3 years assigned to Dover Air Force Base in Casualty Affairs, I kept records of every soldier, sailor, Marine that was brought in on their final homecoming at Dover. And this was during the height of the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War. And this was when Soleimani and his team began to provide these shaped charges. They're improvised IEDs that could penetrate armor. And we began to lose scores and finally hundreds of U.S. service personnel because of Soleimani providing these weapons to the insurgency. And I used to keep records trying to keep up with how people died and a little bit about their families. Our casualty rate became so high at Dover because of these shaped charges IEDs that I literally began to lose count of how many soldiers were killed because of the work of this general officer and the Quds forces. And of course, as you said, the thousands more who live to this day maimed because of their service over there due to the efforts and the influence of this man. It cannot be overstated.
We're going to get to your phone calls, but I wanted to play, this goes back to April 2019, when Secretary Pompeo put Qassem Soleimani on notice, and we designated specifically the Al-Quds Force as a foreign terror organization, as have other nations, including Middle Eastern nations like Egypt, who have designated them a foreign terrorist organization. Remember, they're also responsible for the actions in Yemen, all over the Middle East, all over the world. They say they've got sources. But take a listen to Secretary Pompeo.
This designation also brings unprecedented pressure on figures who lead the regime's terror campaign, individuals like Qassem Soleimani. He's the commander of the Quds Force and oversees Iran's forces deployed to advance the Islamic Revolution through terrorism and other forms of violence. He doles out the regime's profits to terrorist groups across the region and around the world. The blood of the 603 American soldiers the Iranian regime has found to have killed in Iraq is on his hands and on the hands of the IRGC more broadly.
You know, I think that statement right there, that he was put on notice, the blood of the Americans, and then when we knew he had an imminent attack plan, we knew under international law, we knew under our laws, that the president could take action without notifying Congress to take him out. Not because of what he had done and how horrible he was, because President Obama decided not to take him out during those time periods when he was doing that. But he violated the UN Security Council resolution, which said he could not leave Iran. And he had been doing that, but he'd been mostly doing that into Syria, where a little bit more difficult for us to take out such a precision strike. But he left Iran, flew into Baghdad, was planning this imminent attack. We already know he was responsible for the burning of our embassy. And the moment he was off that plane, gets into that car, dead. He's dead, and so is the head of their new paramilitary group in Iraq, the one responsible for that assault on our embassy. Those were not just regular Iraqi protesters. So, I mean, we have thrown their entire system into chaos. Let's not forget that. Because Iran is one of those countries, Harry, where the leaders don't trust others. So, like, your number two is not like your real number two, like, ready to go in and lead. Because they're a threat. Oftentimes, they get executed. So there's not a lot of trust amongst leaders. Like in our military, where you could kind of replace someone right away. That's why we haven't seen like a quick replacement for a Baghdadi. There was never really a quick replacement that was the same kind of level for Bin Laden. And I don't think there will be a right away for Soleimani. He was in charge for so long, had such a grip on power. His brother had the grip on the prison system for internally, so they could domestically imprison those who were a threat to the regime that they didn't kill. But we know is that they don't have like number twos who are just like ready to go.
I think that is correct. And I think the road to the top in Iran is filled with landmines and lots of hurdles. And so it's going to be interesting to determine who takes over in the wake of Soleimani's death. I also think that it's important to put this in context. And if you look at this in context, it's important to note that Iran is already facing destabilization on a massive scale. Their economy is imploding. The value of their currency is declining. Their ability to trade internationally is declining, and they generally have to trade on the black market. All of these things place rising economic pressure on the leadership in Iran, in addition to which, of course, many Iranians are unemployed, and they don't have anything to lose by demonstrating against the Iranian regime. So I think it will take some time to see what shapes up in Iran. But right now, the prospects for those that are even currently in leadership are not necessarily very good, nor should those prospects be any good, because at the end of the day, Iran is a terrorist regime. It's one of the leading sources of worldwide destabilization and one of the leading sources of death in the world.
Well, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, she hates Israel, pro BDS. She tweeted, surprise, surprise. Check this one out. So what if Trump wants war? Which I don't know why she's reading into that. We got rid of the head of the clandestine activities to prevent an imminent attack that would have led to war, led to firefights. We're trying to prevent that. But anyways, let me read her full tweet again. Ilhan Omar. So what if Trump wants war, knows this leads to war, and needs the distraction? What does he need the distraction from? I think it's the Democrats who need distraction, to be honest with you. I mean, this idea that this is some wag the dog moment, it's not. The guy violated the UN Security Council resolution, got off the plane in a country he wasn't supposed to be in, he wasn't supposed to leave Iran, under international law, boom, dead. Was planning an imminent attack, boom, dead. And president doesn't have to notify Congress for 30 days. She says, the real question is, will those with congressional authority step in and stop him? I know I will. Here's the big joke, just quickly, guys. She can't stop him. They don't have the authority to stop him.
They absolutely do not. Separation of powers.
I just think, again, it's so distasteful, these Democrats trying to politicize this. There are guys in Walter Reed right now, men and women in Walter Reed, who got serious injuries because of Soleimani. There are hundreds of dead Americans, troops, brave troops, because of Soleimani. And he was about to start another firefight with our brave Americans who were there securing our embassy and the Marines there. So again, to politicize this is absolutely disgusting. It's a day to celebrate, to be proud to be an American, to be proud to have President Trump. Check out ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you next week.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.